Finds Brown on the left elbow. Mike McGurl right there on the catch. Off to Thompson. He lobs. And McCormick throws it down. What a dunk by D-Mac off a beautiful feed from Thompson. Jayhawks get the ball into Latrell Jocelle. He brings it up the floor, and you can rock. Chalk it up. The Jayhawks win. A blowout in the Little Apple, 59-41.
Wow.
KU sweeps K-State in the season series and win both games fairly easily, pulling away in the second half of both those contests. It's time to talk to the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, every Thursday, brought to you on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. You know, I was, Miller, as you know him, my oldest son, Noah, we were talking the other day about how cool it would be to just be able to say whatever you wanted to say as a broadcaster doing play-by-play. I mean, seriously, there's no FCC regulations. You could just say whatever you want to say, right? Don't have to worry about any repercussions. And I think last night, if somebody was doing the game, and you were, that probably the thing that you would have probably said a lot of if you really wanted to just let loose was, brick, brick, another brick. And we're going to build a few houses. There's an apartment complex, brick. Oh, wait a minute. And whatever else you want to go. Yeah, thud, boink, donk, whatever.
I actually use that old broadcaster's cliche, which I haven't at any point in 5 years as the voice of the Jayhawks, but I did use it last night when K-State was 0-15 from three, and I said that they could build a small house with all these bricks the Wildcats throwing up. I mean, it was wild. But, you know, for a while, we weren't much better. You know,
yeah.
At one point, the two teams were a combined 1-25-3, with Jalen Wilson's three being the only make. Then, you know, we threw in a few later, and, you know, it bears mentioning, had they not hit two threes in the last minute, you know, these are end of the bench, in one case a walk-on coming in, then this would have been the lowest opponent output from a Big 12 or any conference opponent in Kansas basketball history. The previous record is 37, set by Oklahoma State. So I don't know if you can call that setting a record. I guess it is. A previous mark that was stumbled upon by Oklahoma State in 1999, 37 points against the Roy Williams coach team. It was 35 points with a minute to go, and they threw in two threes from some guys off the bench. But that was wild. I mean, and you know, to be fair, while KU's defense had a ton to do with it, there were also a good number of wide open looks that K-State just flat out couldn't hit. It was just a disastrous shooting night for the Cats. And as Greg Gurley commented on several times, it was nice to be on the receiving end of a shooting night that goes to one extreme or the other, where in this case it was positive for Kansas. How many times, whether it was Tennessee, whether it was at West Virginia, you know, did we see teams just absolutely career against KU from three? This was just the opposite last night in Manhattan.
Yeah, it was, and I you could have quoted some music. You love music a lot. You could have used another brick in the wall, Pink Floyd last night. You could have used the Commodores, I'm a Brick House, because it was a lot of bricks. So you could use that. You want to use that in the future, you can. I won't even charge you for it.
You know, it's funny. We have this new behind the mic feature on Facebook this year where you can watch Greg and I call the game, which obviously, you know, it'd be way cooler if we could just turn the camera around and put it on the floor, but that's obviously what TV companies pay billions of rights fee dollars to get to broadcast. So you get to look at our ugly mugs instead, which the masks during COVID help a little bit. But we've had this all season, and it's actually got amazing reviews. It's a great way to listen to the game for free. But a couple of weeks ago, some fan came at me hard saying, what is this term brick? What is this all about? And I just don't understand it. And I thought, man, I thought that was a pretty universal term amongst basketball fans. I mean, I guess at KU we're spoiled because we don't brick a lot. But yeah, you'd be surprised how many people don't reference that. But if there was ever a night last night to use it, you know, clearly last night was the night, as that was just about as bad of a shooting exhibition by one team as I've ever seen, at least in a conference game. You know, you look at the other historical footnotes of lowest opponent output versus KU, and prior to the Oklahoma State reference I gave you, you know, which is a league opponent and named school, the others on the list were names like Alcorn State, 31 points in 1998, Dartmouth, 32 points in 1983, and Howard, 34 points in 1989. So for a major conference brand name school to have a low output like we saw last night until the final minute, you just never, ever see that.
No, you don't. And, you know, we were talking about this yesterday previewing the game. I thought this was a danger. I thought this was the ultimate trap game for the Jayhawks because, and it may sound crazy because, well, it's a rivalry. And I don't know. It's a rivalry, but it's not like other rivalries. I mean, it's not KU-Missouri. It's just not. Now, if KU and K-State would take turns beating each other all the time in football and basketball, then obviously the rivalry will grow, I think, even the way you would like to maybe see it become for some people. But K-State, you knew their 12-game losing streak. You beat them fairly easily in Lawrence, and you got the three big games coming up. And I thought, I think KU could be a little vulnerable here. And let's be honest. I mean, if K-State shoots the ball, like most teams, and I'm not talking like go 12 out of 24. They were 3 of 24 from 3. But if K-State just makes 4 more threes, I mean, and it's still not good, that's a different game. It comes down to the wire, and K-State might have had a shot. It's just, like Bill Self said after the game, I mean, yeah, defense was good, but, they had some open looks. They just didn't make them.
Yeah, and that comment you just made, I said a couple of times when it was a 7 and 8 point KU lead, and we referenced the Cats 0-15. We're saying if they even throw in 2 mm-hmm. of these 15 threes, it's a completely different game. And who knows how tight we play right. if we were to go down at any point. And so in a lot of ways, over the first 30 minutes, we were fortunate to play from out in front when we ourselves were really struggling to score the basketball. And then how cool is it? We talk all season about how the Kansas bench has been so sporadic and we don't have much coming off the bench. And, of late, we had a week ago back-to-back games where all 5 starters are scoring in double figures and you have next to nothing coming in off the bench. Well, last night, the game swung on a 14-3 run that was keyed by Mitch Lightfoot, Bryce Thompson, and most notably, DeJuan Harris, who had 3 steals and a couple of which that led to immediate buckets in that run. So, Kansas, prior to that, you're just kind of limping along, kicking the can down the road, leading by 2 possessions and dodging bullets left and right on open trees that aren't falling. And then that unit comes in, and man, what a spark they gave them. So certainly that's encouraging. And, the second time in the last 3 games, we talked about Bryce Thompson and the jolt of energy he's given Kansas off the bench. I don't know of any other teams in America that added a 5-star McDonald's All-American around Valentine's Day. But Kansas certainly did, and that's exciting, to see what they're adding mid-February, because while clearly Bryce wasn't all that we expected him to be in his first 10 games prior to the back injury and then the finger injury, I think sitting out for a full month really, it taught him a lot, certainly in studying the game, but it also fueled his fire to where I see more burst, more aggressiveness, more assertiveness when he gets in there now. It's like he's looking to make up for lost time. And you look at what else we've got on the bench, we've got some nice pieces in stretches, but not with the ceiling of a Bryce Thompson. I mean, this is a guy that will play for pay someday in the NBA. And clearly, you add that in, and not only does it make the second unit stronger in what they can do, but now Marcus Garrett is going to be fresher. And when you saw Garrett come in on off the bench after 5 minutes of quality rest, he hits 2 threes right away, gets a couple of steals right away, sayonara, warm up the bus, let the fat lady sing, the game's over. And that's not the type of impact you would have seen out of Garrett 3 weeks ago when he was playing 39 minutes and the quote Bill Self was kind of gassed at the end of games. So this helps everybody, starters and bench, when you got a guy like that in the mix.
I think Thompson also is having more fun. I think he looks a little more relaxed than he did prior to the injury. I think obviously you come in, you don't want to mess up. You don't want to rock the boat. You're focusing on doing everything right, not getting yelled at by the coaches, being pulled as a young player. And I just feel like he's just, I mean, looking at his facial expressions and everything when he's on the floor. And yes, it helps when you're making shots or throwing alley-oops, but he seems to be just a little bit more joyful and enjoying it. And maybe that ties into what you said, is that you take things for granted until it's taken away. And when you play basketball all the way, probably from age 4 to 18, and all of a sudden you got to sit out 10 games due to injuries. Maybe that's the reason why he's so joyful.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you cherish every opportunity on the floor after that. And I do think the game has slowed down for him, having observed more he knows what to expect out of Coach Moore, just being able to sit back, relax, be in the huddle, watch him direct mm-hmm. other players for a month. And as Coach Self said, you know, Bryce before would come in and, you know, he would try to react instinctively, but more than anything, he was trying not to let Coach down.
Yes.
He was trying to do what he thought Coach wanted him to do as opposed to just play. And I think everything has just kind of slowed down and gone back to a more natural approach for him. And that's not to say he's going to be great every night. Obviously, you know, the second game with Iowa State, he kind of disappeared a little bit. But the point is, the ceiling for Kansas, our trajectory is much higher with him in the mix, because it's not just, hey, he can do this. It's what he on the floor means to guys that are then able to rest off the floor, and what he can do in injecting, you know, some extra energy and honestly some extra just speed and burst. I mean, when this guy gets in the game, it gets ratcheted up a few notches, and that's something this Kansas club I think is needed. And that's not to say we don't have good athleticism, but you know, when he was out, you know, and your wings were the likes of Brown and Wilson, who were capable guys, but and obviously Wilson's been unbelievable on the glass. But you don't have that, like, blow-by explosive first step as much with them as you would with Bryce. It adds another dimension. And so I think for all those reasons, physically, mentally, confidence-wise, he's in the best place he's been in since being on campus, and it's only going to get better from here.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Brown Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They have farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. All right, so I mentioned yesterday was a bit of a trap game, but KU got through it. Now you look at the schedule, and holy shnikes. Three games in 8 days, starting on Saturday. Texas Tech comes to town. KU survived and won at Lubbock, a key inbounds play, and won it there late. Texas Tech, certainly a better team than they were then. Texas, you know, they've had all kinds of issues with COVID and so forth and so on. They've lost a lot of close games recently, but they're not out of any game. And that's a payback opportunity for KU when they got smoked by 25 in Lawrence by Texas. That's coming up on Tuesday night. And then next Saturday, it will be Baylor coming to town, who knows how they're going to respond after having a long pause due to COVID-19. They're the number two team in the country, but I think some people would argue they're the best team in the country. So this is a big stretch for KU if they want to improve their seeding for the NCAA tournament in March, right?
Yeah, it's huge, no doubt. And I think that, you know, in that three-game stretch, you have reasons to believe that Kansas can win all three. And yet, I think most Jayhawks fans, if you told them right now, hey, we'll give you two out of three, they'd absolutely take it to the bank, just based on how good Baylor is and all that. But, you know, Texas Tech's a team, as you mentioned, we beat before. That's back when we had a little more momentum and we thought that Kansas was in a different echelon. Obviously, Texas Tech since then has had a great run. I always kind of felt like Tech was propped up and overrated when they climbed to number seven. And really, if you look at the resumes of the two teams, our resume is better. And so the fact that a week ago we were 33rd in AP voting and they were 7th, to me was a little bit mind-boggling. But again, it had to do with the cluster of losses that Kansas incurred in a row and how the Tech schedule was a little bit more spread out. But, you know, when we faced them, they didn't have McCullough in there. That's going to make a difference. Obviously, McClung is a scoring stud that can light you up to 20-plus on any given night. You really have to respect him. You know, you look at what he's done throughout league play. He had the big 30-point game versus West Virginia, with 24 versus Baylor. I mean, he's a talented transfer from Georgetown that's really made an immediate impact. So that's going to be a tough one. And the thing is, they defend so well. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing about Chris Beard's teams. And you could say the same about Coach Self, obviously, most seasons, and Bruce Weber most seasons. That defensive intensity they bring is one of the calling cards. And, you know, here's the Texas Tech team that's almost completely different than the club that was within a three-pointer of the national title a couple of years back, and yet they're defending in similar tenacious fashion. Maybe not with the same athletes, but still that same mentality. And so I think for a Kansas team that struggled to score in league play at times, you know, this could be another game like the first go-round that was 58-57. This could be another one that's played in the 50s or low 60s, and you have to grind it out. The difference is, as good as KU was defensively on that day back in December, I think we're much better now. And that's why Bill Self said last night he actually likes where his team's at. You know, despite the offensive struggles and the slow starts and all that, they are buying into defense better than ever. But you know, you believe you can beat Tech, because I think we're every bit as good, if not better. We've already proven we can beat them once. you believe we can win at Texas because, as you said, you know, they've had some issues. They've been a little Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, they played in three of K-State in Manhattan recently in the last couple of weeks. And that's a revenge game for Kansas. And, you know, only Oklahoma State in 2018 has ever swept KU in a home-and-home in the same season. So you feel like we'll have revenge on the minds. And the same is true with the Baylor game, which also happens to be senior night. And Kansas has an unbelievable streak on senior night. We just don't lose, and that's not reason to forecast a Kansas win. Obviously, it has so much more to do with the personnel and the matchups. But it'll be, even with just 2,500 fans, a different feel in the building for that particular game. And so hopefully that gives you some hope for that one, too. So, you know, think about it. If you look at it, Wade, and we go 2-1, that means we closed winning 6 of 7. It means we finished 12-6 in the league with two more ranked wins in there. Mm-hmm. You know, we're already amongst the nation's leaders in quadrant one wins. And suddenly this is a team on the four line, I think, in the NCAA tournament, which a week ago would have sounded like a stretch. But I got to go out there and get at least two of these last three. And who knows, man, it's so crazy right now to think that Kansas is a game ahead of Baylor in the win column. Yeah. But five games behind Baylor in the loss column.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, having played six more at this point. But it's going to be a wild last 3 weeks. And then, like we talked about on last week's report, not knowing what Baylor's schedule is going to be, mm-hmm. you know, in those 10 or 11 days in between the scheduled end of the regular season and the Big 12 tournament, how tired they're going to be, what their motivation factor is going to be. Suddenly, Kansas City looks a lot more ripe for the picking, and really, whoever the 2 seed is will probably be the favorite, just based on an exhausted and not a lot to play for Baylor team, you would think. So there's a lot of opportunity as we head down the stretch here with 3 regular season games and hopefully 3 more in Kansas City to completely change our trajectory and our, you know, reputation heading into this particular Selection Sunday, going from a team maybe on the 6th line a couple of weeks ago to the 4th line, or maybe, just maybe, it sounds like a stretch, but you could possibly see a scenario where we climb all the way to the 3 seed line if they win the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. And what a coaching job that would be if they were able to complete that.
Yeah, and the other thing is KU doesn't have a bad loss, and they won't now from here on out after they got by K-State last night, all their losses to top 20 net teams. So, I mean, their resume is really good, and I think what might happen, depending on what they do the last 3 games, is KU will get a higher seed than some people that are just the regular lay fan, and they'll go, well, KU's got these losses, and they're out of the top 25. How can KU be a 3 seed or a 4 seed? And they won't understand, you know, the schedule and the who they lost to. People don't usually do that extensive research. And by the way, speaking of research, on KUSports.com, this is a nice little nugget if you're a KU fan. 27 consecutive seasons now, KU has won at least double digits in conference play, 10 wins or more for 27 consecutive seasons. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and when you consider that it's just been the last 9 years that we moved to the 18-game format, so the previous 18 years were with 16 mm-hmm. conference games, and so to win 10 out of 16, I mean, obviously, when you think about it, it's not a huge surprise because we have the most conference championships of any school in America, 61 going 62, but it's definitely remarkable when you think about 27 years. I mean, your son Miller was like negative 10 the last time he did one, right?
Like the temperature of the day, yeah.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's just crazy, the model of consistency. And there's so many stats like that, like, you know, 3 decades straight of making the NCAA tournament and all that. It's stuff we take for granted as Jayhawks, but it bears mentioning because I can't think of another program, because there really isn't in all of college basketball, and maybe all of college football, other than maybe Alabama. Mm-hmm. But even they had some down years.
Yeah, they did.
I can't think of a program over 3 decades that has been this model of consistency of win percentage, conference title winning, national title contention, Final Four threatening, all that. I mean, it really is a situation where Kansas has no equal. Obviously, the naysayers will say, well, you need to win more national titles in that stretch, and Bill Self will be the first to say, there's probably 2 or 3 out there he thinks he could have had. But man, to look at what he and Roy Williams have done over the last 33 years, it's just unreal to think about it.
It is. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. Molly Ringwald, actress, it's her birthday today. She is 53 years young. Her best-known movies include 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, and Pretty in Pink. My wife is a big Molly Ringwald fan. My wife, as you know, is a redhead. Molly Ringwald, a redhead. And my wife loves those three movies, 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink. And The Breakfast Club is probably her favorite. Of those three, I would say 16 Candles and Pretty in Pink, more of chick movies. The Breakfast Club would be more of the guys, if they had the pick, that'd be the one they'd probably choose to watch of those three. So it leads me to the off-the-wall question. My wife's favorite movie, Breakfast Club. My favorite movie is Major League. I can recite almost every line from that movie, and sometimes I can pull it out even during a broadcast if it fits. How about you? What's the movie that you quote the most, whether with your friends or during radio interviews or, talking in your sleep or on the air? What's the movie that you quote the most?
Well, it's funny because we were just quoting it last night when we got up to the crow's nest of Bramlage Coliseum, and they had these little sequestered glass booths where the play-by-play guy and the color guy were separated by a little cube of glass. Uh-huh. And then there's Wyatt and Stan on the K-State side, both separated by two cubes of glass. And Greg Gurley turns to me and puts his hands on the glass and says, "I'm in a glass cage of emotion," which is, of course, from Anchorman.
Yeah,
I think Anchorman's the movie that I no doubt quote the most, and it's probably one of my top five favorite movies of all time. There's just so many comedic geniuses in that one.
Yeah,
and to me, probably 12 or 13 lines that I quote with regularity.
Yeah,
whether it's my apartment smells of rich mahogany or Sex Panther cologne or whatever the case may be, we have a lot of fun with Anchorman for sure.
Yeah, that's another good one. I hear you on that one. I can just see Gurley doing that too. That's funny. Brian, thanks for your time as always, man. Thanks for the laughs as well. And have fun here. It's going to be a great stretch of basketball, at least hopefully it will be for the Jayhawks. And we'll recap the next two and look ahead to the Baylor showdown next Thursday with you.
Can't wait, bud. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.